Tessai Elal. We're going to start from the Mishnah. We finished last week. Yes.
Okay.
Right. So we're gonna see that Mishnah again, and we'll see how much we're able to get through. Okay. So the Mishnah says, "Ha'umanim korin b'rosh ha'ilan b'rosh ha'nidvach." So you have a bunch of workers, and they're working on either a rosh ha'ilan on the top of a tree, or they're in a rosh ha'nidvach.
Top of stones.
Right. So nidvach Rashi translates as a binyan shelvanim. Right. So stones. The Ritva calls it a ledge on top of a wall. Regardless. So, and it comes time to Zman Kriya Shema. So, do they have to get down to recite the Shema, or they can just say it right there? So the Mishnah says, "Umanim karin b'rosh ha'ilan b'rosh ha'nidvach." They're allowed to recite the Shema right then and there. It's not a problem. That's basically what Rashi says over here. Rashi says, "Umanim shehem oskim b'malachtan." They're busy working. They're busy working b'rosh ha'ilan and b'rosh ha'nidvach, as we translated. The Giyaz Man Kriya Shema, Korin L'Sham Yad. They're allowed to read the Shema immediately right then and there. They don't have to get down. Continues the Mishnah. Masha'en Kain, Masha'en and Rashoyin Lassos Kain B'Tzvil. When it comes to the Shemon Esra, they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to say it on Rosh Elon, Rosh Nidvach. Rather, apparently they don't have to get down. And the reason why, says Rashi,
standing up is dangerous.
Standing up would be dangerous, that's correct.
And with the Shema, if you're allowed to sit down, stand up, lie down, do anything with the tefillah, you got to stand up. So,
right.
You know.
So there's certainly danger issues and kavanah issues. Rashi, we're going to actually go back to this Rashi when we get all the way down to the very bottom of this Amud. But let's just see this Rashi now. When it says, "Ma'ashein, Shein and Rashi and Lassos came with tefillah, the Salusa Rachmehi." When it comes to the Shemon Esra, when it comes to Daming Shemon Esra, it's rachman. It's asking the Kodesh Baruch for mercy, compassion, avoid kavanah. And it requires kavanah, which means it requires more kavanah. More of the Shemon Esrei needs kavanah, as we said before, and we pasuk in the first paragraph needs the whole paragraph. You need to have kavanah. The Shema, you have to have kavanah for the first pasuk, and that's it, basically. Shema, Baruch Shem, that's it. Uboy kavanah. Hilchah, therefore, says Rashi, Ein mispan Baruch Elon, Baruch Nebuch. Why can't you daven Shemon Esrei there? Because as you said, if you're standing up, there's stafi dilma nafli. If I'm going to be concerned and afraid, maybe I'm going to fall down. The only way you can stand in such areas is under extreme circumstances. And because of this, you're not going to be able to have the kavana that you need. So that's how Rashi explains why we distinguish the Shema from the Shemon Esrei. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah about a chasan. Okay? Chasan is patur mikriya shema laila harishona yad motzoi Shabbos. So you have this chasan. He's not obligated to say the Shema the first night that he gets married. And this is assuming that he gets married on a Wednesday, which
is common in those days. But today, Tuesday night is
Tuesday night
Kito. Or Sunday night, that's what his mazel tik is. So, you know, that's what they say today. People get married either Tuesday or a Sunday night or a, you know, Saturday night. Most people don't get married Wednesday nights, but you know, during the time of the Gemara they did.
I got married on a Sunday.
Right.
You know why? My guests could come.
Okay. So.
I could come up with any other.
Well, that's what most people get married on a Sunday because it's a weekend.
It's a good day.
But in those days they had a problem with Yom HaShmini because the best thing, the first mission in Ksubis.
Oh, what does it say over there?
That they had to, they got married on Wednesday so that they should, if for any reason he found that she was not a virgin, you should immediately come to the best and find out what's going on.
Right.
Because they would reconvene on the Thursday, Yom Chamishi.
Right.
Okay, so with that said, this chasan, which as you just mentioned, may be concerned, is this girl a basula, is she a ba'ula? She claimed that she was a basula, maybe she's not. So he's so torrid, his mind is completely preoccupied with this whole matter, that he's not going to have kavana. And therefore, chasan patur mikriya shema laila harishona, ad motzoi Shabbos, all the way until motzoi Shabbos, imlo asa maaseh, if he did not perform any act. Umaaseh b'Rabbi Gamliel, And then the Mishnah continues, apparently saying a complete contradiction as to what we saw before in the Mishnah we just read. Masa Gamliel Shinasa Isha. The great Rabbi Gamliel got married. Vikara Laila Rishona. And what did he do that very first night? He read the Shema. So Amar lo Talmidav. So his students turned to their Rebbe, who their Rebbe just got married. Usually the Rebbe goes to the Talmud's wedding. This time Talmidim went to the Rebbe's wedding, Rabbi Gamliel, and he asked him the question. Matu Rabbeinu, you taught us, our great rabbi, Shechasan Pachim Kriya Shema. So that's true, you're a Chasan, so why did you say the Shema? So Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Gamliel said the very powerful words, Eini Shemayelecha, not listening to you, I could care less what you have to say. Levatel Himeni Malchus Shemayim Afil Shachas. I am not going to rid myself of having come close to Hashem and to accept upon myself the Malchus Shemayim even for 1 hour.
Yeah, but Rabban Gamliel is a different category. I mean, he was the big cheese. I mean, he was a special case, you know, the Rosh Hador, who's the leader of generation. He's a different madriga than average Joe, who has, you know, he doesn't have... You know, he's able to chew gum and walk at the same time, so to speak, as opposed to the average guy. His mind is only on one thing. So he's not really, to bring him up as a raya, is not, you know, such a great raya for everybody, because he was, you know,
are you suggesting that he was not worried about not being a virgin?
Probably him, no. Because he would know, he would probably do the right Rishon and Chakira to check out who he was married. After all, he was the Gadol Hador. He wasn't just some, you know, married and married person. He wasn't worried about it.
He had bigger things.
He had bigger things than that. He had to run a whole country there, you know.
But isn't the whole idea that, in spite of the worries, he said, I.
But I'm saying, but a guy like him probably wouldn't worry because he's at a different madriga than the average Joe Schmo. You know, average guy, okay, he's worried about it. He wasn't worried.
Let's see what Tosus has to say about this. Tosus asked the Kasha, the third Tosus, which says, Masa Mimilu Shinasa Isha Bikar Krishma Rishona. So Tosus asks, isn't this a Masa Listor? Isn't this story a complete contradiction to the Halacha prior? Why would we bring down a story which completely contradicts our Mishnah? The Mishnah said, do not say the Shema on the first night, all the way until Motzei Shabbos. So why would we want to bring the story, even if maybe our will is different, why would we want to bring the story of someone that did exactly the opposite of what the Mishnah told us not to do? So Tosus says, Lav Masa Listahu. This story is not a contradiction to the previous statement of our Mishnah. The Kamash Malan, because this part of the Mishnah, the story of Rabbi Gamliel, is coming to tell us that Im Gogolhu, Tosus says, Im Gogolhu, if you happen to be a Gogol. Doesn't mean in weight, right?
No, but Gadol being the Gadol Adar.
Right, you're a great scholar, this. About tuach ba'atzma, and you know within yourself, you have the self-confidence, shiach l'schavim, b'uroi litol es Hashem harshus b'yado. If you know that you will have the kavanah, then you're allowed to do so. So Rabbi Gamliel was...
a special guy, that's what I said. He's a, you know, he's a different kind of guy.
Right. So we're actually, this Mishnah is going to be... borrowed to the very end of the second parak, a very fascinating Gemara, which talks about another issue of gaiva. You know, that if
you're
saying
that it's gaiva, that Rabbi Gamliel like gaiva? No, I don't think so.
Not Rabbi Gamliel. But they ask the question about just the stam guy, right? Yeah. And everyone knows, assuming everyone knows the halacha, that a chassid is pucked from Kriya Shema because he can't have kavana. And I say, you know what, I'm going to say the Shema because I'm a big shot. So you have to be careful of Yehura, of being a Baal Gaiva. So we're going to discuss if that's an issue. If a person is allowed to say the Shema and litol es Hashem, as Tosus says, to take Hashem's name, whether you're allowed to do such a thing, or maybe you'll give this negative impression that you're trying to be a show-off. That's not something which, of course, we would want you to do. Okay. With that said, we just concluded the Mishnah on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. We're now up to the Gemara of Tanur Rabbanan. Okay? Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, Almanim Karim Barosh Ha'ilan Barosh HaNidmach. Basically, quoting this Tosefta does, the words of our Mishnah, very similar. Of course, the Tosefta was written in the same era as the Mishnah. It's just the additions thereof, which are not actually put as part of the Mishnah. So, Haman and Karmen, Barosh Eil, Barosh Nidva. Those workers allowed to recite the Shema on the top of this tree, on the top of this wall, structure, this wall. Umispalin. So we said they cannot daven Shemon Esrei on such surfaces. However, Mispalin, they are allowed to daven Shemon Esrei, Barosh Zayas, Ubarosh Hatzeina, on the top of an olive tree, as well as on the top of a fig tree, which apparently are sturdier.
Many branches, and the sturdy, they wouldn't fall. They have much more support than, right, than the average tree.
Right. That's right. So, and Gemara continues, v'sharko ilanos, when it comes to all other trees other than those which do not have as many branches, yardim lamata umispalin, they should go down and they should dive it on the ground. So, look at Rashi over here. Rashi says that when it comes to Shemon Esrei, mispalin barosh hazayis barosh ha'teina, you'll have to dive it on these specific trees, olives, fig trees, says Rashi, b'zman she'oskin mehen. Doesn't mean you should climb, when you're about to get to the Shemon Esrei, let's climb up to these trees. It means you're already there, you're already busy working. Mipnei she'hanafehem merubin, because their leaves, as you said, are plentiful, there are many of them. Yechon la'moshem, you could stand there shlo b'dochik, without such difficulty, without such stress. The ain shon pachad, leaphole. Person is not as afraid that they're going to fall down off of such trees. Lefichach, therefore, says Rashi, mispalin b'rosham, you're allowed to daven on the top of them. Avobishar yulonos in mispalin. But when it comes to other trees, you should not.
Why does Rashi need to say the obvious?
What's that?
This man she'oskin. Where would we have an avamin? A guy's just going to climb a tree to daven Shemon Esrei. I mean, even the way the Mishnah is written, ha'omnon. They started workers. We know that the guy's a worker. So why is Rashi? What's Rashi's chiddush here to come in and say, you know, that we might think of a havamina, I mean, a guy's going to climb a tree to go daven?
I think the answer is going to be answered a lot better when we see the next line of the Gemara. But a lot of it has to do with an exclusion to anyone else who is not working. If you're a paid worker and you're having to come down the tree to daven the Shemon Esrei and say the Shemon and to climb up. Is, and you're being paid on the clock and you have a lot of responsibilities, I don't want you to do that. I'd much rather you take care of business up there and finish. So we're more lenient when it comes to workers.
I know, but this is Bizman, but you said Bizman Shoskin. Of course we don't deal with workers, but I'm saying, why would you have a having me to think that a worker is going to climb a tree, dafka to daven? You know, that's what I'm saying. What is Rashi's chiddush? What is Rashi, you know, normally Rashi comes to teach us something interesting. Of course, we start ha'omnan. What is ha'omnan? A worker. So what is he? He's not playing ball. He is working. So it's pretty obvious that he was working.
Right.
And we're saying that we don't want to interrupt that, you know, that for Shema, you know, no. You know, after you can work there. But for...
So what?
My son's girlfriend's father and his cousin, her cousin.
Not so good in Yevamos.
Intermarriage is Israel. Was staying in New Jersey, they went up to the Catskills and they went apple picking.
Okay.
Now let's say somebody is on a T-roll, whatever they are, and they climbed a tree. There, they would not be permitted to just say, it's time for Shema, I'm speaking from on top of the tree.
Because they're not workers.
Because they're not workers, but so that's why you have to specify workers. Although
but it says, but the Gemara's already saying they're workers. Well, I'm saying, what is Rashi's chiddush? The mission starts ha'omnan, the workers, people who work. They're not talking about the people who are just going to have a good time picking apples.
So what if you're a worker and you're on lunch break?
What?
What if you're a worker, but you're entitled to a 30-minute break, and it happens to be that 30-minute break is the time you should be saying the Shema?
You wouldn't be in the tree. You would have come down from the tree.
Right, you're eating your breakfast on the top of the tree, and then you realize I should be saying Shema.
It's not the time of working. To tell you that it's only somebody who's doing it because they have to for earning a living.
But we know that. I would say that based on the Mishnah, whatever.
So let's see the next line, couple of lines of the Gemara, and maybe that will help. The Gemara continues on the first wide line It says Ubal Habayis Benkach Uvenkach Yorid Lamata Mispal. If you are
the Baal Habayis, so it's his business, and he always get that. Your business, you can do what you want.
So he should, not that he's allowed to, it doesn't make a difference how strong the surface is, what if it's even an olive tree or a fig, whatever. He must come down. Yorid Lamata Mispalel. Lafi, why? Because Shein Daito Yoshevis Alav. Because his mind will not properly focus on the davening. Now, why does the Gemara say Lafi Shein Daito Yoshevis Alav? So we look at, let's see, Rashi. First of all, Rashi says, Benkach, Benkach, Klomer, Ben Mitaina, Ben Misharilano, so it doesn't make a difference where the Baal Habayis, which tree it is, even a sturdy tree. Says Rashi, Yorid Mispal, you must come down to Davin, to Eino, Mish'avid, Mulacha, Shehu, Rishus, Atzmo. Since you're not really doing the work, so therefore it's really within your own permission to go down. You know, you're not getting paid, you're the boss. Now, but Rashi doesn't say, and the Gemara doesn't say, because you're the boss. The Gemara says, Lefi She'en Daitum Yosheves Alav. So what? How does Rashi interpret this? Mevasuso v'im hikol etzol apualim v'nei bitamlocha will hikol etzol bal habayis. So we said, why are we makel? We're lenient when it comes to the workers v'nei bitamlocha, because we don't want him to, by the time you climb down that huge 50-foot tree and then come back up, you've just wasted 30 minutes of time. We don't want you to do that. So the whole hefter is for that. However, when it comes to the Baal Habayis, we shouldn't be as lenient because after all, he's not being paid. Now, according to the Ritva says that Rashi's really not translating the words properly. The Gemara says, Lefi She'en Daitum Yosheves Alav, because his mind is not thinking, means he cannot have Kavanah. So the Ritva explains, why will the Baal Habayis not have Kavanah, but the Poalim will have Kavanah? And the answer is, why did this Baal Habayis hire these people? Because he can't do it himself. Whatever they're doing up there, right? They hired professionals to climb up all the way, whatever, to do their thing, to do their job. So for them, they can say the Shimon Esrei on a sturdy tree like an olive tree.
They know what to do. They're working.
They're working. They're up there all the time.
All the time, right? It's like guys that are in a skyscraper. Right. The average guy woke up in a skyscraper. No,
right.
Exactly. Indians.
Exactly.
We're not afraid of heights.
Well, or whomever, the workers.
The Indian people don't have a fear of heights. That's why when they built a lot of skyscrapers in New York, they had Indians, or the Verrazano Bridge, and all that kind of thing. They're special people. They're able to have no fear of heights.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so whoever you can find, but certainly people that their whole profession is to do that, to climb up these high structures, they are able to have more kavana when it comes to the Shemona Esrei than the Baal Habayis that just walks up there for 3 minutes and then comes right back down. He's petrified. So he will not have Kavanah. So what's the nafkamina between Rashi and the Ritva? What happens if the Baal Habayis himself is also proficient? He's also a worker. He happens to be, he's not doing his job, but he's climbed up many skyscrapers in his lifetime and he's an expert. Maybe that's how he started and then he moved up into this. So according to the Ritva, that Baal Habayis is allowed to say the Shemona Esrei in those places because according to the actual...
Because he wouldn't be fearful and he knows he could be allowed the Kavanah.
Right. There's no difference between him and the workers. And therefore, the correct reading, according to the Ritva of our Gemara, Lefi She'en Daitum Yosheves Alav. The only reason why he can't is because he's not going to have Kavanah. But if he'll have Kavanah, it's not a problem. According to the readings of Rashi, Rashi says the whole issue is Bitl Malacha, right? So Bitl Malacha, it doesn't make a difference if the Baal Habayis is afraid or not afraid. The issue is Bitl Malacha. There's no Bitl Malacha when it comes to the Baal Habayis. And therefore the Rashi would hold the Baal Habayis is never allowed to say the Shemona Esrei under such conditions. Right, that would be a nafkamina, a practical difference in Halacha. Let's move on. The second wine line. Rav Mori Barad Daba Shmuel Rabba. Rav Mori, who's the son of Shmuel's daughter, asked a question to Rav. Rami is, very often when you see the word Rami, it's a contradiction in Psukim. So we have a, he's going to ask a stira of some sort. It's not a contradiction from Pesukim, but a contradiction nonetheless. Tanan, we learned, and Tanan always means we learned in a Mishnah, which happens to be, of course, our Mishnah, as we're going to see. Ha'umanim karim b'raisha ilan uv'rasha nidva. That's what the Mishnah says. Workers are allowed to say the Shema in on these high structures, high places. Alma. So what do we see from this? We see from here, lo boy kavana. It's clear that you do not need to have any kavana, because how on earth can you have kavana on the 43rd floor? Arminia, I should question, we've learned elsewhere that someone who reads the Shema, sarach shechavein es libo, you have to have kavana salei.
That's not really a stira.
How is it not a stira?
You well, because we said, no. We said, when dealing with Shema, b'shav kav kumecha, a guy doesn't have to stand up to say the Shema. He can be sit down, he can be this, or if you're sitting down, you're not afraid you're going to fall asleep. You're standing and you're going to shake, you're sitting down. So you have the confidence, so you can have that kavana because you're not worried that something's going to happen to you. And therefore, it's not a stira, because you're going to have the kavana because you're not standing up, you're sitting down. That's why the Mishnah said at the beginning that you're allowed to do it, because obviously, you can sit down, you don't have to stand up. Where you do with tefillah, you have to stand. We understand that. But with Shema, you can be in any a myriad of positions and still be yotzei and have the right kavanah.
Good point. So that would make it not such a strong question, which may be the reason why Rashi addresses your issue. If we look at this, the Rashi, Tznan, Umanim Karn Barush Ilan. The issue isn't kavanahs because he can just be sitting down, says Rashi. A filu b'zman shehin oskin amalo boy kavana. It's not the fact that the issue of kavana is I'm on such a high structure I may fall, which is one of the issues that Rashi brought down. But the additional issue, as Rashi said, is that you're busy working. And if you're busy working, you have a hammer and you're banging and banging and banging, and you're saying in the Shema, there's no way you can have kavana. So the issue of kavana is not that I'm standing versus sitting. The kavana, the issue is kavana because you are in the middle of working. Okay? That's the difference. Alright? So I'll explain that again. Rashi is pointing out that the issue of not having kavana or having kavana is not whether you're standing or sitting. The issue that our Mishnah is talking about is you are in the middle of working. You don't have to stop your work. Just keep working, keep working. Keep banging and banging and banging and doing whatever you're doing. There's no way you can have kavana and, as you said, walk and chew gum at the same time. Not going to happen. You cannot be working such a job and truly have kavanas halev. So that's why Rashi throws that, adds those words, afil bezmashi and oskin, which may also address your other question of why does the Rashi before keep saying working, working, working. It's not the pshat that they're working.
You stop
because,
working while you're
saying this. But this is talking about the Chiddush of our Mishnah is not that you can say it up there. The Chiddush is you can say it up there even while you're working.
So
even
then,
the process.
You can't have kavana. Then it's very hard to have kavana. Because if a guy is working, banging, he's got to watch what he's doing. He can't just...
Right.
You know, so if you're looking at picking olives, you're not looking, you're not thinking about the Shema. So you don't have kavana. Then his stira is correct.
Correct. And that's why Rashi says that, and that's why the Gemara at this point is deducing on the third wide line, Alma lo boy kavana. It must be you do not need kavana, because there's no way you can be working at the same time as saying the Shema and having kavana the words you're saying.
Well, we already learned before, not just that we learned early, that you have to have kavana.
Ah, Ramini, Shema, Sar, Shechav, Neslibo. So now you're saying it is a good question. Now you do agree it's a good question. Good. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, Shema Yisrael. L'holon Omer, and elsewhere it states, Haskes u'Shema Yisrael. Pay attention and listen, Israel. So what does the Haskes tell us? Malahon b'Haskes, Akan b'Haskes. Just like that Pasuk says Haskes, you should listen to the words over there in Devarim. Also, Shema Yisrael, when you recite the Shema, it also has to be done b'haskes with kavana.
So the answer is going to be easy. So if you say Shema Yisrael, you have to have stop and have kavana, then you go back to working when you say the rest of the Shema.
Well, apparently you thought it was an easy answer, but according to Rava, he didn't think it was such an easy answer. He was ishtik. He was silent. Shtiku, right? He was quiet. Ishtik also is a breakup of two words. Ish, teku. That's how a person who's like silence. Teku is just Tishbi Ataritz Kushis Vyabias is the acronym. Eliyahu will answer these questions, which means I can't answer them. I'm going to answer Ishtik. That's the shorish, the root of that. So he didn't really know an answer. Which of course, you did. Armalei said, "Midi Shemielach." When did we hear this? B'ha Armalei. Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes. For who Shemavatlin the Malachdon? They have to stop working the Koran and then they read. Right? They're not. The answer is. It says state, you need kavana, beferish, you need kavana. The answer is, you're right, you need kavana. So what must you do? Rav Sheshes says, you have to stop working. You cannot say the Shema while you're up there and working. And therefore, at this point of the Gemara, the Chiddush is not that you can work and say the Shema, because you can't, because you need that kavana. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is that you can say Shema at all up there, even though you've stopped working. The question is, you stopped working, should you come down and say the Shema? No, you can just say the Shema where you are, but you definitely have to stop, because otherwise you will not have kavana. In fact, the Gemara, that's not so. What do you mean you have to have kavana? That what do you mean that you're not allowed to work and say the Shema? Mosani, we learned, as you quoted the pasuk was, which says, you can say the Shema in any fashion. You can be working and read. So what are you talking about that you have to stop your work to read? Beis Hillel, whom we paskin like, we don't hold like Beis Shammai, that you have to physically lie on the ground at night or say the Shema in the morning standing. You can say the Shema even while you're working. So the question is, so how can you have kavana? So lo kasha, hava perek rishon, hava perek sheni, which as you said. When it comes to the first paragraph, the perek rishon, stop your work. That first paragraph, say the Shema, and then the second and third paragraph, you can continue to do your work, because you do not need the kavana for the second and third paragraph. The first paragraph, you do need to have kavana. As Tosfos, which we accidentally skipped and we'll go back to it afterwards, but let's see, Tosfos would be, that was the one we'll see afterwards. Haba Perek Rishon. The first chapter, first paragraph, you have to say without working, right? Because you need kavana for that. Tosfos says, where'd you get the first paragraph from? We don't hold like that.
Shema the Yisrael.
Right, so he says, Lav Dafka, Nukat Perek Aleph. When the Gemara said distinguish between Perek Aleph and Perek Bet, Lav Dafka, he didn't mean that literally the entire first Perek. The Haina Liba the Rava, that's only according, because that is according to Rava. The Rava Omer El, Rava said previously, not a whole first paragraph, but rather, Pusik Rishon Levad, the Halachi Hilchasa, which we mentioned before. The Halach is, you don't have to have Kibbutz for the whole first paragraph of Yahavta, just the first Pusik Rishon Levad, Shema, and Baruch Shem. So therefore, Umaskana. Umaskana Sagamara, what we're saying is as follows. According to Tosfos, at least, is that you are allowed to be on top of all these different trees and say the Shema. Not a problem. Should I stop work? Yes.
Only
for the first pasuk.
See, how long are you stopping for? Not even a minute.
Just a few seconds. Exactly. Because of that, the Rashba holds that when the Gemara says Ha Perek Rishon, Ha Perek Sheni, unlike Tosfos that says Lav Dafka, says it's Dafka. That's really you have to have stop working for the whole first paragraph. So he says, why? He says like this. When it comes to everything else, you only really need Kavana for the first Pasuk. Shema, Baruch Shem, finished. But the problem is that if you're being Oisik B'Malacha, you're just working and working, there will be no Heker to show that you're actually doing, you're accepting Ol Malcha Shemayim. All you're doing is stopping from working for 3 seconds. People think, you know, you're just sneezing or whatever. You're just taking a 2-second break. So the Rashba holds that even though generally you only need kavana for the first pasuk, nonetheless, in order to acknowledge that you're doing something unique, you're being mekabel malcha shemayim up there. There you have to stop for the entire first paragraph, which again is not the way of reading of Tosfos. Okay. So before we continue with the next piece, Tan Rabbanan. Let's see this Tosfos that we skipped accidentally. So we mentioned before the machlokas between the Ritva and Rashi if the Baal HaBayis was up on top of these trees, right, even a very sturdy tree, says the Gemara, he should come down and say the Shemona Esrei, Lepishin Daitim Yosheves Halav. So Rashi says, Isha Bittul Malacha, which means it doesn't make a difference even if he's proficient in climbing up on such areas. He should always come down because he's not losing work, right? Assuming that he himself is also, he's not working, and even if he is working, he's not losing money because of it, because he can just do it later. It's no big deal. He's not paying himself. The Ritva said it has to do with him being comfortable being up there, and he won't be as comfortable because he's not an expert. Okay, so we look at Tosfos over here, the Tosfos which we accidentally skipped. The fourth Tosfos. Okay, Lefishin Daitim Yosheves Halav. The Im Tomar, so he asks the question, what's the issue? The issue of the Baal HaBayis davening the Shemona Esrei on top of this tree is because he may not have kavana. However, when it comes to the other workers, they will have kavana on such trees, they're allowed to daven on such a high place. Gemara says, what are you talking about? Why would that be the case? Typically, why don't we learn out, Mishum Davrinal El, we learned previously on Dav Yudim Beis, Lo Yamud Adam Mamakim Gavo Vispalim. A person is not allowed to daven on high places, as the Pasuk says, Mimamakim Kratich Hashem. He's supposed to call Hashem from
lower place.
So, why are we coming up to this whole kavana business, coming up with this whole other reason? How about a more logical reason? The reason which we saw previously. Why do we have to come on to a different reason? Say it's because you're not allowed to daven on a high place.
Yeah, but that was just the daven stam. You weren't working. There's a thing. That's the difference.
You're never allowed to daven on a high place. So
yeah,
why?
The hachila, but v'diyeved, if you're working and you can't stop working because it would cause you to lose money, then you're allowed to do it.
In the Baal HaBayis,
that's why the Baal HaBayis has to come down, because him, it's not his livelihood is not dependent on it.
So what? But why do we have to say those reasons? Just say because it's in a high place, you're allowed to daven in a high place.
But that's just stop. You know, I'm going to daven. We're having shachas with daven. We're not going to go on top of a mountain. You know, that's what. But here is a different case. Here is a case of a b'diyeved that you're caught in the trees while you're working. Like, but the zman is here, and you don't want to miss it.
Let me put Tosfos's words in a different way. This is not what Tosfos asks, but why do we allow workers to daven the Shemona Esrei on the top of this tree? Okay, it's true that there's an issue of losing money and whatever. So what? Why do we say that if it's very, very sturdy branches like these olives or fig trees, why do we say that you're allowed to daven up there? After all, don't we hold that a person is not allowed to daven in a high place? So why would we ever allow them to daven up there? It's kavana, or it's he's going to.
Because you're not
work.
Worried that he's going to fall down because of this kind of trees. He's not. But he can have the right kavana because he's not afraid of falling.
But over there, the Gemara didn't say you cannot daven in a high place because you may fall down.
I know, but it's a case of a b'diyeved. You have no choice.
So let's see how Tosfos answers. The Eish Laimar, you can answer like this. Which is a very valid question that you can also ask. Am I allowed to go on top of the Empire State Building and daven Shemona Esrei up there, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it better, right? It's like a little of a joke, to daven the upstairs minion than the downstairs minion, right? Because Mama Kim, Kristi Hashem, right? So maybe you should daven downstairs.
Downstairs, right.
It's a good question. It says, Lo Yamud Adam Makim Gavoa. Don't daven upstairs.
Right.
The Gemara says it. That's obviously not pshat. B'yesh Lomar, Tosfos explains it. The Hasa Mairi Al Gabi Kisei of Sasol. The issue is standing on top of a chair or on top of a bench. Abba B'ilan Sha'ola Shal Lasos Malacha Havi Kamo Aliyah. These trees in which people are climbing up in order to do work, it's just like being on an attic, on a top floor. There's no issue of davening on a top floor in a very, very high building. The issue, and that's not a chisar of Mimama Kim Kursi Hashem. The issue is when you stand on a small surface, which in halakha is less than dalad al dalad, almost.
You could fall.
You can fall, and you certainly will not have kavan if you're standing on the top of this chair. Right? And but the other Indian of Mimama Kim is, if I'm on the top of the Empire State Building, but my feet are on the floor, you can still have the kavana of I'm lowly, even though I happen to be physically on a high floor. But once you stand on top of a desk, right, then all of a sudden you feel like you're above everyone and everything. So that's also such an idiot. Okay. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. All right. That's how Tosfos interprets that it's not an issue of downing the top of a tree because of its of its surface. Okay. Still have a few more minutes, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tana Rabbana. Hapoalim. So in that case, let's shoot for the two dots. Tana Rabbana. Hapoalim shay osim malacha itzal habayis. If you had the workers that are working next to the Baal Bayis, the boss, Karin Kriyashma, Mavarach Lefanel Yachareha, because the Baal Bayis is present, which shows that he's clearly not Machbid, or else he probably would have said so. So therefore, we allow them to say the Shema as well as the Brachos, before and after it. The Ochin Piton, we eat bread, Mavarach Lefanel Yachareha, which means they would say Hamotzi, as well as Birchas HaMazon, U'mispalan tefillah shel Shmon Esrei. They can even daven the entire Shmon Esrei. So they can daven regular shacharis. However, don't push your luck. You're not allowed to say, okay guys, let's get a minion over here. Like 10 construction workers. All right, let's start davening and start saying Kaddish, maybe
reading the Sefer Torah
on top of a tree. The ain noisin kapehem. We also do not allow the sis kapayim. If there's a couple Kohanim in the audience, we do not allow them to be involved in the
wash.
That's another issue, which doesn't really get into that issue, which may be part of the reason.
And lifting up the hands, they have to stand up, as opposed to when we talk about sitting or something else like that.
Right. Let's see this Rashi, the Rashi that says, "Avol ein yarden lifnei ateva," right, which is pretty far down there. You cannot yard and lift the table, which means you can't dabble with a minion. You can't create a minion up there. You cannot stop your work for yard lift the table to dabble with a minion. He says the reason is because of
really pushing it.
Right, it's right. Now he doesn't bring down the example of the Sis Kapayim, which is interesting why he doesn't bring the reason why you can't do that. Rashi doesn't bring it down, which could be your reason. And it could also have to do with this idea of Bitl Malachios Medai, which I'm not sure why.
Take a minion, then you couldn't one without the other. So before you even get to that, he says you can't even do that. So it's not even an issue.
Right, the question is why he even says it.
Exactly.
Because there's no repetition of Shmon Esrei, because you can't form a minion. All right. Nonetheless, he said you can have a Davin the Shmon Esrei. So, Afrek the Gemara, Vosani Bo Iloi Me'en Yuches. You're not allowed to say the entire Shmona Esrei by yourself. You can only say the abridged Shmona Esrei. What is the abridged Shmona Esrei? It says Rashi, that's Havineinu. Havineinu Adas Darchecha, which we're going to see in great length in the fourth parak. Says Rashi, Shekoel Yud Al Brachos Bebrach Achas, Vegim Rishonos Vegim Achronos Kihilchatan. Instead of having the 19 Brachos, here it's talking about 18, but let's, and therefore it's 11, 3, 3, and 3, and 11, 3. Of course, now we have 12, 3, 6, why is it 11? Okay, you have, instead of the 11 brachos in the middle, you have, I'm not sure why it says Yudal. All right, but you have one long paragraph, which touches upon all the middle brachos. So in other words, you would have the first three paragraphs of the Shmon Esrei are the same. The last three paragraphs of the Shmon Esrei are the same, which is how it always is throughout all of our tefillos. We always have the bookends of the Amidah are always exactly the same. The only difference is that which is in the center. The center is different. So in the weekdays, we have many brachos in the middle. But Havineinu, instead of having many, many paragraphs, they're all combined into one, which instead of every paragraph, there's only like three or four words, which are the primary themes of that paragraph. That's what's main Yudches. We'll talk more about it when we get into it in the Gemara over there. But the Gemara asks, how could you tell me that these workers will have to say the Shmon Esrei, the regular Shmon Esrei? That's too long. Main Yudches. Say the abridged Shmon Esrei. So Rav Sheshes, Emphat the Gemara, Rav Sheshes says, Okasha, it's not a question. Ha Rabbi Gamliel, Ha Rabbi Yeshua. What did Rabbi Gamliel say? So Rashi tells us, that the Gemara later on in Tefillas HaShachar, which is the fourth parak, which we'll get to in approximately 7.5 years, Rabbi Gamliel Omer b'chol yom v'yom esmal adam yudches brachos. Rabbi Gamliel holds it doesn't make a difference who you are, where you are, what you're doing. Always say the regular Shemot Esrei. You should never say the special, unique, abridged version. However, Yeshua, as Rashi quotes, Omer me'en yudches. You're allowed to say the abridged Shemot Esrei, which we just explained. So therefore, there's a contradiction. Should the workers say the regular Shemot Esrei? That's according to the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. The opinion that says that they should only say Mi'en Yud Ches is according to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. So Threk the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua, if we're talking about the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, my Ari Po'alim, Afil Kol Adami, when he said that the Yud Ches or the abridged Shemot Esrei can be recited, he wasn't referring to workers, he was referring to
everyone.
Exactly. So therefore, why are we forcing ourselves to say that the answer to answer this contradiction, it must be two different people that said it? It's always better to establish it as one person and to distinguish within that person other parameters, other gedarim. Ella, idi Rabbi Gamliel. Rather, both statements of Rabbi Gamliel. I, Rabbi Gamliel, always says you should always daven the Shemona Esrei in its entirety. Blokasha. Kan ba'osa b'scharan, kan ba'osa b'sudasa. One is when you are the worker who's getting paid cash, and the other one is where you're getting paid
food.
You get to keep a few olives or some figs. So, out of the two, which one will be more machbid on? Who will we be more particular with?
The person that eat for food, not for money.
What? Which person will we say we do not want them to say the entire Shemona Esrei because their time is much more valuable? Right? So let's look at Rashi. The first white line. Osan b'scharan, shenotlin schar pulasan levat sudasan. These people that get paid a paycheck, in addition to getting their delicious olives for free, srich lemaher amalacha, they have to do their work quick and fit. Do what they have to do quicker. Umispalan mi'en yuches, and therefore we will only allow them to daven
the shorter version.
Avo osin besudasa, but the person that is only get like those banners will work for food, right? Those people b'shilchil vada mispal yuches, because we're going to assume the Baal Bais doesn't care so much about these guys, so they're getting some food. Who cares? So we'll give them a free dinner. So those people, they can daven the Shemona Esrei in its entirety. The other people, mein yuches. Okay, now the Gemara says vasanya. Now this, I remember vividly, Rav Kalman, my Rebbe that taught me this in Neri Yisrael in 1988, said that without Rashi, I don't know why I remember this, 19 years ago, without Rashi, there's no way you'd be able to understand some Gemaras. Vasanya generally means, we learned in a Braisa, we learned in the Tosefta, a contradiction is the question. So Rashi says, Vasanya here is Benichusa, which is a... What does Benichusa mean? Mr. Deutsch?
No question.
It's not a question. It's a raya. It's a proof. It's a proof. Right. So my Rebbe from 19 years ago said that if you wouldn't have that Rashi, you'd be saying, what's the kasha? What's the kasha? And that's what Rashi is telling you. The importance of learning Rashi. Vasanya, and we learned something similar to this in a Tosefta. I know it's a Tosefta that says on the side. Hapualim shayu osim malacha, these people that are doing their work, eitzel baal bayis, koin kriya shema mispalin, they can say the shema davin, v'ochim pitan, they eat their bread, they mevarchim avneha, they should not say the bracha before it, avu mevarchim l'acharel, but they can say the bracha thereafter, shayim, the two brachos after. Ketzad, how is this? Bracha rishona kitakuna. The first bracha of the Shema should be regular. Shnia, the second one, which is the Shemon the benching, po seach bebirchas haaretz, begin with no delcha. The cholin bonir shlaim bebirchas haaretz, and you should kind of include the third paragraph together with the second paragraph to combine and make it smaller, shorter, so that you're going to not bench this huge, long singing and benching and doing all these different dances when you're benching and wasting everyone's time. The Medivor Memorial boasts the Miskarim. The only time we're so machbid in particular is only if you're getting paid. But if all you're doing is getting a little bit of food, or the Baal Bais is reclining with you, which shows that he's not so machbid,
then you can do it. Then, say the whole thing.
Then you can say the bracha as is. If we look at this last Rashi, which is a very difficult Rashi, just give me 2 more minutes over here. The second to last line says, "Ein mevarchin lefanecha." It says, when it comes to eating food, what's the halacha? This person who is getting paid, when it comes to benching, we do an abridged benching. But when it comes to the bracha before, which is the benching, before you eat, which is namely Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz, these 10 little words, Ve'en Mevarach Nevanel. We do not say a bracha before. Right? That's that's how we can interpret the words that it's talking about benching. But Rashi, as we're going to see, says, what's the issue about benching or whatever?
It's in the Torah.
Right.
The
aim
of the
Torah. Right. So when it comes to when it comes to benching,
you have to do it because it's from
the Torah.
Amotzi is the Rabbanon.
The Rabbanon. So therefore, when it comes to things which are in the Rabbanon,
you can't be, you know, machped. Right. You have to be machped
on. So the Beis Yosef asks a very important question. How about Shimon Esrei? Is Shimon Esrei the rest of the Rabbanon? What does Rashi hold? Why does Rashi come up with this reason? That the reason why you don't say Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz is because it's Midr Rabbanon. But what did this same Braisa tell us? Did the Braisa tell you about the daven Shemon Esrei?
Is it a better abridged version of Shemon Esrei?
Well, let's see what it says. The Braisa says, Korin Kriya Shema, Umispalalin. So what does that mean?
But Umispalalin Ein Yud Ches. He says, you say the abridged version.
It doesn't specify, but let's say that's what it is, okay? Which is possible. But the question is, what's the question? The question is,
is it midoraisa or midorabanan?
Now, according to this, it says that you have to daven the Shemon Esrei, but don't say Hamotzi. What that does it sound like?
That
it sounds
doraisa.
Like it's midoraisa.
Right.
That Rashi must be saying that Shemon Esrei is midoraisa. Why? Because the only reason why we do not say the bracha before it says Rashi she'enam in the Torah, but the Braisa says so. Seth Kluri says when it comes to Shemon Esrei, you say the Shemon Esrei. So if you, it says over here, this is how we'll conclude because it's the time is late. Lefi she'enam in the Torah says Rashi yesh ladakdek de'im kain nifter gam min hatzfila she gam kain rach min rabbanon. Why does this worker have to say the Shemon Esrei? Isn't Shemon Esrei min rabbanon? So he said the mikan hochia harambam. From here, the Rambam proves the Tefillah D'Oraisa, that Shemon Esrei, in fact, is not rabbinic, but the Shemon Esrei is Mid'Oraisa, the Garis Karashi, the Ein Mevarchin Lefanecha. And he holds, the Rambam does, like Rashi, this diuk that only the Hamotzi is not Min HaTorah, implying that the Shemon Esrei, in fact, is. However, we can conclude by saying that maybe, in fact, Shemon Esrei is only Midrabanan. If it's only Midrabanan,
why
do you have to say it? After all, Rashi says Shainim in the Torah. And that's the reason, as I mentioned, we have to remind ourselves of the very first Rashis that we saw. Rashi also gave another reason, something unique, that differentiated, distinguished the Shema and the Shemon Esrei. That when it came to the Shema, you can say the Shema up there. Why? Said Rashi, the Selusa Rachmehi. That's what Rashi said in the Mishnah. So why does he have to give this reason and this reason? It's this, maybe Rashi holds that Shemon Esrei is really only Midrabanan. If it's Midrabanan, why in that case do you have to say it? After all, you don't have to say Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. That's true. But Hamotzi is not Rachmehi. It's Midrabanan and it's not Rachman. However, when it comes to the Shemon Esrei, since it's Rachman, even though it's Midrabanan, you would still have to say it. Stop.